In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Edging Until Tomorrow,
Reparative Therapy for Gays,
Worst Star Trek Movie Ever,
Installing a SIM Card on Your Wrist,
and The Monster That Ate the Great White Shark.
All these and more, coming up next.
Bear Podcast, 522.
Bears.
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get something to scrub there and fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, white. That's
two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Welcome to episode 522, and it's a Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. You got the date correct.
I got everything correct this week.
Okay, all right, great.
So how was your weekend?
Oh, it's been great. It's been very busy. It's like, I thought about being lazy Saturday, but I ended up watching a movie. I watched Edging Until Tomorrow.
Oh, sweet. Is that new... Jason Cruz movie?
Yes, it is. It's the new Tom Cruise movie starring Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise. Yeah. So it's just like what the title says, live, die, repeat. So it's like a very high-tech Groundhog Day, I should say.
Okay.
It's like a Groundhog Day.
Does it get too repetitive of them dying? And
no, actually... That's where the solution. It's really an awesome movie, because it's the way it was written that he keeps dying the next day. Now he tries to avoid not dying and see what happens, because whenever he dies, it resets to the day before. So he has to find a way to not die, and he was solving these puzzles one by one. Mm-hmm. Of course, he has to die a couple of times, like getting run over. By a Jeep, so he has to do it again the next day, so he won't get run over this time. You know, that kind of thing. So, so he would experience things like you know, hundreds of times. So it's a very good movie. I think it was well written. It was I didn't see any plot errors or anything, but the concept is really good. I highly recommend it.
Hopefully, I can check it out sometime soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a. Move this microphone. I hope it's moving around.
Is your phallic microphone? Well, see, that's why you do this, man.
Okay, do that. Oh, sorry for those listeners. Your ear may have been
boom.
Okay, and then I thought I'm gonna be lazy that day, and then you called. Ray called me. Well, text messaged me and saying, "Are you going to the Eagle? What's at the Eagle?" And said, "Oh, it's the opening.
The new opening, yeah. Or the opening of the new location.
Yeah, the new location of the Eagle. So okay, might as well do something.
Get out of the house.
Get out of the house. I had to
put my jockstrap on.
Mm-hmm. Or wear nothing at all. So yeah, I did drive, and I met you guys up there, you and Robbie. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about the new Eagle?
I think it's great. It's great that it's big space. I haven't even explored the whole place because it's just so packed Saturday night for an Eagle.
Well, I think there's more space on the outside than the inside.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Because I think the Eagle moved where a bar called the 611 was, which was basically a hustle bar at one point. But I don't think they've expanded it any. I mean, they might have knocked some walked the wall or something out and made stuff a little bit easier to get around. But most of the room is on the outside, mm-hmm. and they put a patio in the front.
That's good.
A deck in the front patio area, and then on the back they built a upstairs patio deck. Yeah. And the thing has upstairs, and they're supposed to be doing VIP rooms and stuff like that for it too. So that'd be interesting. But they need to learn how to fix the damn AC and keep it cool up in there.
Inside. I think they only had window units.
I don't think so. Well, I don't know what they had, but it was hot as hell.
Yeah, I think. I mean it's it was not hot enough. Outside. Yeah, window units. That's not enough. No. I mean, you have to use.
But I mean, that's why I was like, let's go to the Ripcord because they have AC.
Because there's no one there.
Well, even when there's people there, the AC works pretty decent in there.
Oh, okay.
You know, true. If you're up in the front, if you're in the back with people coming and going out the patio all the time, then no. But
what's going to happen now with a city having two leather bars?
Well, you have the one that people want to go to and the one that people just kind of go over to trick at and hook up with or whatever, or however it works. I don't know. I mean, the Ripcord, I'm surprised it's still open these days, but apparently it's made enough money and it's been around long enough. It's been yeah. So. And they try to keep it clean and decent. So,
I guess they're doing a good job. Yeah, of course.
So, and people, everybody be at the New Eagle for a couple weeks, months, and then all of a sudden they'll go back to their normal routine, and you know they'll get more foot traffic over there in the neighborhood than they would than they were get downtown. I'm sure because people like to go to bar to bar to bar and hop here in Houston.
That's what's good about the New Eagle now because it's in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
it's where Montrose. It's in Montrose now and. Yeah. Where you know the gay area is because before it was downtown. It was it was downtown. It's the only gay bar there, I guess. Or probably there's more, but it's hard to park. It's the only gay bar in
well, it's hard to park anywhere in Houston, pretty much.
So. But it's easier in the Montrose area. I mean, relatively easier.
Fine place. But I mean, the whole thing is, you go start off at one bar and then you move to another bar and then you go to this bar and then you jump over here to Ripcord, then you jump to Eagle, then you go over to the Mining Company, and then you go to JR's. And, I mean, so people like to hop around.
So. Yeah. Okay, so what am I going to say about the bar? So it was fun. I mean,
it was basically a soft opening for them because their big opening is Pride Weekend, which is the last weekend of the month. So they were trying to make sure they had all the bugs worked out, which,
I guess.
You know.
It was funny because Robbie called me out because I was, okay, I'm going to go home. Bye, guys. I'm going to go home. When it got
30 minutes later, we went downstairs and was standing on the front patio. And guess who comes out the door?
I was still there. Well, it was funny. Robbie said, "Busted." No, actually, I was on my way out. And then I saw Shahram. And then he's got some friends from Argentina. And I kind of had to, I was introduced. So you kind of have to mingle a little. So 30 minutes later, we hung out a little bit more. But then we went to George's to hang out a little bit more. So met a couple of friends there. So then I left. So I had to be social just even a few more minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know my, okay. I don't know if you guys saw me a couple of months ago about my Achilles tendon. I injured it. It happened to me again last week. Last week. And then towards Sunday, I couldn't play.
Are you sure you're not a descendant of Achilles?
No, I'm not. No, I'm sure I'm not. Okay. I'm Filipino, so I don't think.
Was on an island.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I don't think he's Filipino or he's Asian. But anyway, so yeah, I couldn't play. So we won both games. We won the first game. Okay, the second game we lost, but we won. We won because of a technicality, because it became automatic 7-0 points because the other team has illegal players. So even though we played, we still win.
Well, they did go down to the border and pick some players up and come back to town?
Oh, no. It's more like when they signed up the beginning of the year, they knew they had illegal players.
Okay.
They just want to have fun. Okay, fine. But then you'll get an automatic lose.
So did immigration get called?
No, not that kind of illegal.
Oh.
illegal meaning they are rated higher. Like we're all 8, 9, 10, and they're 12, something like that. So that's supposed to be in a different division. So
I'd give you a 9, Maynard.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of ten. Oh, sad.
Everybody's got room for improvement.
Oh yeah, that's right. I guess. And then we had the wave pool party. My softball team, yay! Yeah, we have a pool party, and we got. Have you tried Blue Moon with oranges?
Yes, that's usually the way I drink it when I drink.
It's Blue really Moon. Good. I mean, I've had it before. It's just that I had the mood. I had the mood to. It's BYOB, so I brought my own, and I should try it. So I try it again. So I had three of those.
Oh, well,
three
that's
bottles. Cool. That's pretty much it. So that's the weekend. I got tipsy because of Blue Moon and margaritas.
Blue Moon. So, well, my weekend was a little bit more laid back. Worked in the yard most of the weekend. Did a little writing.
Oh, that's right. You've been writing.
On the Great American Gay Sci-Fi Werewolf novel.
Is that what it is? That's the theme?
That's the theme, yes.
Wait. It's gay. That's okay. Sci-fi. That's fine.
Well, it's more.
But it's a werewolf.
Werewolf. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like gay Twilight then.
No, they don't sparkle.
They don't sparkle.
They don't sparkle.
Okay, continue. So, okay.
It's a combination of a bunch of stuff. So, it's a little more like Teen Wolf, sort of, but not exactly. Because I got some setups and differences. But anyway, have you seen the movie Blue Jasmine? It's a Woody Harrelson movie. Blue Jasmine is a 2013 American drama film written and directed by Woody Allen. It tells the story of a rich Manhattan socialite falling into poverty and homelessness. And Kate Blanchett was in the movie. She was the leading lady, and she won an Academy Award for Best Actress last year for the movie. I watched it with Robbie this week.
Okay.
And if y'all haven't seen it, this bitch is crazy. Crazy.
What way?
And it was kind of hard to watch because I could kind of relate to some of her craziness. That was what the scary thing was. In fact, some of it got almost that I had to get up and leave the room because it was bothering me so much. Because her crazy and my crazy was similar. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my God, she went off the deep end and I'm one banana peel away.
Well,
but I mean, it's interesting to watch. If you haven't seen it, I highly suggest you. And I'm not a big Woody Allen fan, but that was actually a pretty decent movie. So check it out and watch this because this movie just fucked up. Mm-hmm. So
one thing we missed last week and also was actually we were too busy doing our stuff was the Tony Awards.
Yes, we missed that.
And Neil Patrick Harris. You know, Mike and I were planning to go to New York. Yeah. We were planning, but we might not do it anymore. Because Neil Patrick Harris was playing Hedwig in New York. Hedwig at the Angry Inch. And he's playing there, and I'm going to miss it. I want to watch it. But then he did one at the Tonys. He did a dance. He did the one part, the Sugar Daddy. Is that what it is? Sugar Daddy. It's the part where...
I haven't seen the movie in a while. So.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it for a long time. Yeah, it's the part where he would wear a dress and did a lap, would do a lap dance in front of the audience. Because I've seen a live performance of Hedwig and the Angry Inch in DC before, and there was a part there when they were singing Sugar Daddy. I think that's the title. And then there was a part there that he would do a lap dance on one of the audience. There's a specific chair where if somebody sits there, somebody buys a ticket there, yeah, he would do a lap dance on the person who was on the chair. But anyway, so Neil Patrick Harris did the same thing in the Tonys, I guess. So it's really vulgar, I guess. Must be fun.
Yeah, I got to watch. I wish I'd seen it. Last night we were watching Orange is the New Black, or actually Sunday. What were we watching Sunday? No, that's when we watched Blue Jasmine was Sunday. And halfway through the movie, I was like, oh shit, the Tony Awards are on. So it's too late by that point. But anyway, so on to topics. Maynard.
Okay. All right.
Maynard. I think the Texas Republicans have lost their damn minds.
What did they do this time? What did they do this time?
Texas Republican Party adopts discredited reparative therapy for gays. So
really?
Yeah. So they're not only are they ostracizing themselves even more than they have been, but they're just fucking themselves up, I think. This past weekend, the Texas Republican Party, Fight to Keep Texas Red, adopted a party platform for 2014 that includes support of so-called reparative therapy, a psychological program that claims to be able to change the sexual orientation of adults from gay to straight. Reparative therapy is a long-held cornerstone of the religious right, and the Texas GOP's inclusion of the therapy in its platform could be an indication that the Tea Party and religious rights pull on the Lone Star State.
Are they just trying to grasp on, it's like keeping a grasp on water?
Well, reparative therapy works like this. Maynard, you're not gay. Maynard, you're not gay. Pray, Maynard, that you're not going to be gay anymore. Are you gay?
Yes.
See, it doesn't work. I mean, it's a little more in depth than that, but I mean, the whole thing is the American Psychological Association published a report that looked at all the peer-reviewed literature on conversion therapy and concluded that the evidence unequivocally showed that attempts to change sexual orientation is ineffective.
But for them, it's just really, they it's their platform now. I mean,
well, I mean, it's their, I mean, I guess some of this is the backlash of gays being allowed to wed now.
Mm-hmm.
All the other rights that we've gotten over the last year, couple years, and just getting more and more that the religious right doesn't really have anything to stand on about gays.
They
other than protesting funerals and high schools and proms and other events.
Oh, that's the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, which we'll talk about later. But it's pretty interesting. So
that
they would come up with this. I mean, I understand Texas is kind of a conservative state, but I think Texas in the next 10, 15 years is going to be blue.
It's going to be blue? You think so?
I think
so
there's too. Enough people that were Democrats that have moved in from outside
coming
the
in.
State that's changing that. Plus, a majority of the Hispanic voters are Democrat.
Yes.
And they're pushing to get more registered and out to vote. So I think that's going to affect a lot of things as how the party runs. But I just think it's ridiculous that
they still
national,
do this. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's
2014.
I mean, it'd be like saying, we believe black people should have rights, but just not the same rights as white people.
Yeah. It's the same thing now. And
that you can be converted to a white person. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
If you go to white school, you can become white. Mm-hmm. So
that there's nothing I could say about this. Just that it is crazy that they're still at this. They still think that reparative therapy still works. And it's been proven many times before that it's not.
Except for Michelle Bachmann's husband, it works.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
It works for her.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, what do y'all think about this? I know majority of our listeners are not here in Texas, but, you know, this is our home state and the bullshit that goes on here. So
yeah, mm-hmm.
It was interesting. I just had to bring it up and say where, you know, after the last election and the Republicans getting spanked and the whole changes and what's going on in the Republican Party is trying to find an identity of what they are, how are things in your state with the Republican parties? Because I know there are gay Republicans out there, so don't act like you're not there, because we know you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to lean toward the Republican Party too myself. But
what are they going to tell the log cabin, the gay Republicans?
Well, I don't know. I don't think the log cabin Republicans even got invited to the plot.
Oh, they're not. Okay.
So let me see. There was something here about that. Let me look at the article.
Yeah, I guess
it made the log cabin Republicans and the Metroplex Republicans, two conservative groups that support gay marriage, were denied exhibitor space in the Texas GOP convention.
See, they're very
the two groups
picky.
Held a joint press conference where they admonished the party for including extremely anti-gay language in the party's platform. Oh, so, no. I mean, they're not, you know, they're just a, so.
Okay. But anyway, it's sad that they're still at it and they know it's not going to fly. It's not.
Well, that's hopefully it won't.
No, it won't. So. Anyway, let me take this entertainment because.
Okay, you take this entertainment.
I like this. Sigourney Weaver, didn't she die? Sigourney Weaver will return for Avatar sequel trilogy.
Trilogy, you got that now. It's a trilogy now.
But play a different character, says director James Cameron, recycling her character. Right. So Sigourney Weaver just wants to be in Avatar. Oh my God, she died already in the movie. Okay, fine. Okay. So Sigourney Weaver is set to return to the world of Avatar for three more tours of duty. It's like Alien. It's Alien Resurrection. So, director James Cameron announced Monday that he will be reteaming with his longtime collaborator for the upcoming trilogy of sequels to the 2009 blockbuster that earned $2.8 billion worldwide. Sigourney and I have a long creative history. Maybe they're having an affair. Yeah. Dating back to 1985 when we made Aliens. Cameron said in a statement, "We're good friends who've always worked well together, so it just feels right that she's coming back for the Avatar sequels." So the actress won't be reprising her role from the first Avatar because she's supposed to be one of the scientists, right?
Yeah.
Since when we last saw her character, Grace Augustine, she was pretty much dead. Yeah, she died there. She's playing a different and in many ways more challenging character in the upcoming films, Cameron teased. So whoever the 64-year-old action movie legend ends up playing, she'll be seeing some familiar faces on the New Zealand set. Original Avatar stars Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, and Stephen Lang have also been cast for the three movies. Like Weaver, Lang's character also perished in the original film. Oh, that's right. I remember that. But they're not going to revive him or something like that. I hope not.
Well, in that, are there going to be certain flashbacks they do and they bring them back
for that? Yeah, probably.
Or they write new characters for him and put them. I mean, if they make her alien, it'd be
Or they have a puppet, and then the voice would be him. I don't know.
Who knows? I thought it was anyway.
Animated.
I don't know if y'all saw this, but I thought this was a pretty good story in there. And there's actually, Maynard posted the links in the notes that you can go watch the video of this. Theater of unsuspecting moviegoers learns to keep eyes on the road. Hong Kong, a theater full of moviegoers got quite the surprise when their cell phones become part of the show they were watching. And a powerful PSA called, which was recently released, Volkswagen, came up with a clever way to relay how dangerous it is to text and drive. Now, when you watch the video... The video starts with somebody driving they show them getting into a Volkswagen, and then they're driving down the road, and everybody's sitting there, you know, watching it, and they just keep driving, and it's kind of like going on for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, everybody's cell phone in the theater goes off with a text message, and when they all reach down to get their cell phones, the car crashes on the screen.
Oh.
And then it pops up and says, texting is the number one killer people in cars these days, mm-hmm. and this whole thing. But they showed behind the scenes where they have this...
it was synchronized.
It was things set up so it recognized everybody's cell phone who was in there and sent them a text message.
Mm-hmm. But they have to know the text message. I guess they gave their phone numbers, I guess.
I don't know if they got the... Well, if they got a monitor there, you can click and tell how many cell phones by the GPS there. And I'm sure the information's embedded in that so they can see the telephone
number. No, they shouldn't. They do that would be a violation of privacy. But I'm sure they submitted their phones at some point.
Well, they might have. I mean, it might be one of those things that, hey, when they come in, hey, sign up and give us your cell phone and we'll text you your awards or something like that.
Yeah.
But the entire theater pretty much done it, it looked like. And it was pretty, watching the video, I was like, wow.
Mm.
That was pretty intense watching it. So watch the video. Okay. The links will be in the notes.
All right. So it's the 25th anniversary of the worst Star Trek movie ever. Which one is it?
That's right.
Today marks the 25th anniversary of a dark day of Star Trek fandom. The release of Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. And it was really horrible.
It was bad.
I hated it. So, okay. So, it's The Final Frontier, or to give its proper name, the worst Star Trek movie that isn't Star Trek Into Darkness.
I don't see why people dislike that movie. I liked it.
Which one? Into Darkness?
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I liked it too. Cool. Arguably, The Final Frontier is worse than Into Darkness. It not only matches the movie's nonsensical plot, but adds layers of awkwardly unfunny comedy and bored actors. Yeah, they look bored in that movie. With the outcome of an overly complicated mess. The plot of the movie may have been focused on the attempt of Spock's half-brother to meet God in the center of the universe. But what The Final Frontier is really about is what happens when a studio demands a blockbuster movie before everyone involved is really ready to deliver one. Marvel, you should take one note. Yeah. Like...
Ant-Man. Yeah, which we reported on the other week.
Yeah, we talked about Ant-Man last week. We're going to do it. So famously, plagued by problems before, during, and after production, including... but not limited to a shift in concept. Originally, the God in the movie would be revealed to be the actual Satan, and Kirk and the crew would have to fight escape from hell. Really?
No, really.
No, yeah. Really, yeah.
Which might have been a better movie.
Yeah, it would have been. So, writer's strike, last-minute budget calls, and budget cuts that necessitated a rewritten finale, a reduced time frame to finish visual effects, and a conflict between William Shatner. Oh, really?
Yeah.
William Shatner got angry with who? Who directed the movie? Oh, William Shatner directed that? Yes. That's why it's horrible. And producers over a final cut. It's tempting to point to The Final Frontier as a cursed project from the start, and one that should have been left to fail quietly for the good of everyone involved. Well, The Final Frontier, when I saw that, I just couldn't I don't understand why they were doing it. I mean, Undiscovered Country was really good.
Yeah.
Search for Spock was really good. The Voyage Home was pretty funny, and it's
I kind of well, the Voyage okay. Home was like should have wrapped it up.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Into the past and everything, but yeah, but with the Final Frontier, it was horrible. I just didn't like it.
Okay, our events this week. If you have a bear event or any kind of event that you'd like to share, we'd have a bunch of people there. Let us know, and we will post it on the show. I'm tongue tied today. I'm worse than him. Anyway. If you have an event that you would like for us to promote for you, you can email us at events@bearpodcast.com and we will promote your event on the show. Like this, like Bad 2014, Bears Attack the Desert. Bears Attack the Desert 2014 brings the Bears back to Las Vegas. Join us at the Blue Moon for a four-day clothing optional bear weekend, woo-hoo! Thursday, July 3rd through Sunday, July 6th. There you go, Maynard. Mm-hmm. Bad 2, live music, free barbecue, drunken bear shots, full bar, and all the hot bears you can handle. Don't miss it. This year, we still have a great new Saturday night white party in the pool, not to be missed. Well, I got something about this. If you got a bunch of bears there, it's more like a white party anyhow, because most of us are pasty anyhow.
So pasty.
You don't have to wear white underwear. Mm-hmm. More details and full event schedule will be posted soon. All proceeds from the weekend benefit the Sin City Sisters and the amazing work they do in our community, hosted by Bear Las Vegas. Find out more information, go to www.bearslasvegas.com.
Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay, this week's gay is a big one, and still hard to believe this is happening today, but it does. Man beaten at Detroit Motor City Pride, Gay Pride Festival in Detroit. The beating of a gay man was caught on tape at Detroit's Motor City Pride. Tape? Yes. Another link you can watch and see the video of the kid getting his ass beat.
That's sad.
The beating of a gay man was caught on tape at Detroit's Motor City Pride, a gay and lesbian friendly event held over the weekend. The video shows 20-year-old Kristen Howard, a gay man, fighting off attackers Sunday along Detroit's Riverwalk as the Gay Pride Festival happened in nearby Hart Plaza. Howard says 5 to 8 men attacked him. At one point, all the young men joined in on the attack as Christian was on the ground helpless. Howard says the attack was unprovoked and that he was getting a picture taken with a friend when the young men started circling, commenting on his long hair, calling him homophobic slurs, and threatened violence. Then somebody said they had a gun, said Christian. Kristen, who is a stylist, can no longer cut hair until his hand heals, which finger got broke. He says he's emotionally damaged and hasn't slept since the Sunday attack. He's strong in his gay pride, but doesn't know if he'll return to the Gay Pride Festival. Will I go back to Pride? I'm kind of iffy about it right now because I don't want that incident to happen again. What if the same guys are there? So
he didn't recognize them?
Well, no. I mean, in the video, there's just some guys walking around, and they just jump his ass and start beating on him.
God, it's horrible.
So I guess, you know, that goes to the tent because this is a thing that me and Robbie have had some tension about in our relationship, about me showing public displays of affection here in Houston. Now, when San Francisco, I was more free about doing it because everybody's walking around, people were walking around fucking naked, smoking pot everywhere. So I was like, you know, me kissing my boyfriend shouldn't be that big of a deal in San Francisco. So I was a little more relaxed there. Houston, not so much. I still kind of get iffy, you know, because, you know, they still drag people's ass behind trucks in Texas around here. But so how safe do you feel in your city, depending on if you're up north or down south or out west or in another country? Because this is in broad daylight. I mean, this is in broad daylight.
During Pride.
A couple blocks away, this guy was probably walking around just like somebody would do here. And a bunch of guys just...
I was wondering, though, he's got long hair, so I was wondering if he was a transvestite.
No.
He's got
long hair. I mean, he's a hairstylist. He's got long, luxurious black hair.
Oh, okay.
Like Cher. But the other thing was, this was also black-on-black violence.
Oh.
Because Kristen's a black American, and the guys that jumped at him were black American. Well, I assume they're black Americans as well. Or African Americans, whatever you want to say. But that's another thing. When is it that people, like, what does that come into play? I mean, is homophobia, is that depending on what ethnicity is it? Is it worse for some than others?
Oh, no. I believe that it's It goes wherever. I mean, whatever race it is, whatever ethnicity it is, it goes the same. I would say even with Asians. I would I guess also with Hispanics and also, well, of course, lots of whites.
In Manila, when you were growing up.
There's a lot. Even, tell you frankly, I was afraid. I was afraid to come out. I was afraid to tell anyone back then if I'm going to, you know, if I... I didn't bully any, well, that's a different story, but I did not bully anyone for being gay. Yeah, but I have a different story about bullying on my part, but that's a different story, but I'll tell about it next time. But I did not. I feel bad that some of my gay classmates were being bullied, and I was just there quiet, and because they didn't know that I was gay.
Yeah.
Or I was actually questioning myself too. And yeah, so... Back then, I was afraid. I was afraid back then, and I was kind of in denial growing up. So I only really came out. I would say I really came out in 2005. Oh, it's gonna be 10 years.
I remember when I first started going to the gay bars in Augusta that I was kind of scared because the parking lot was kind of dark, you know, and it sat between two streets, and people could get in easily, jump in, and beat the hell out of you, jump in a truck, haul ass, and be gone. So I was always a little leery of it and stuff, you know. And then Atlanta, I felt a little bit safer, but I mean, still, it's, you know. But I remember being in Montrose here when I first moved here. And frat boys or teenagers or what, driving through Montrose, hollering slurs like fags, all this kind of stuff, and then hauling ass down the street. So I remember that. And that was in the last 15 years. So, But do you think there's always going to be some kind of hate?
Oh, yeah. But it's not only because of sexual orientation, it's probably taught from parents, you know, going down, because hate is taught, right? And it's really sad. And I it's really sad that it's still around us. I mean, it's not going to be gone anytime soon.
Yeah. And if y'all have any experiences like this, let us know so we can talk about them and have an open discussion about it, you know, because... Kind of funny to say it's 2014 and here we are and people still getting their ass beat just because they look gay, even if the guy might have not been gay. I mean, just because he had long hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. So.
Maybe he had makeup on.
No.
No, he didn't, right?
No. And what does it matter if he had makeup on?
I know. That's why people who are homophobic would immediately react to it. We can't explain. People are just hateful. What can I say? Just because of what they look like. Yeah, it's really sad. Anyway, okay, let's move on to the geek. I kind of like this, but I don't know. It's like the sign of the devil.
I know. I was like, that's almost like that little chip Obama wants put in your arm.
But. I know. So Docomo wants to put a SIM card on your wrist. Oh, Japanese carrier, Docomo. Wants to make the SIM card your gateway to quickly adding service to multiple devices, as well as potentially adding a layer of security when you aren't near your devices. In most cases today, users are bound to a single SIM card to provide service to a phone or a tablet. The little plastic and gold chip slides in, and suddenly you can surf the web and make phone calls. It's a system that has served us well for many years. But as more and more users start to use multiple devices that could benefit from being connected, there's a choice that has to be made. You can either swap your SIM card back and forth, which is tedious and no one actually wants to do, or you can pay for multiple lines for services to add data to each service. In some cases, tethering your through Wi-Fi or Bluetooth is an option, but a costly one when it comes to how much is consumed on the host device. Docomo thinks they have a better solution. Yes, the satanic thing. It's the mark of the beast.
Uh-huh.
They have a better solution as well as plans to make it even more portable over time. So the credit card-sized device pictured in this article is a prototype that would store your SIM card and allow you to authenticate services on multiple devices as though each of them had a SIM card installed. I guess it's like proximity ring, right? If it's in
the device. I guess so, yeah.
So there's obviously going to be some sort of cost associated with authenticating multiple devices, but the end result is that the clumsy process that we currently used to share data could be a thing of the past. So Docomo plans to shrink this prototype down to the size of a 90 band, of the 90 bands. I guess it's pictured in the article, as they move forward, making it possible so we just wave our arms on the device you want to authenticate and be done with it. It's a good idea. They even have rings. I mean, not in Japan, but they have. I heard in Daily Tech News show by Tom Merritt. They talk about authenticating things if you are wearing a ring.
Well, now there are certain door locks you can get now that are electronic, that you wear a ring, mm-hmm. and when you get to the door, you can just open it because it detects your security code.
Yeah. I mean, that would be nice. Yeah. I mean, a ring, but I don't know it being a string.
It kind of sounds interesting, you know, but I think the wave of the future is going to be cloud, where regardless of where you are, you can log in on anything, and it'd be your desktop with your stuff and data, and you can be like on one of the, you know, the remake of the Total Recall, where they put the hand up on the glass, and they could call people, and they could do stuff and look stuff up. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that's glass, they could do that on. And I think that's where we're going, as much as multiple devices, because I think multiple devices are going to be eventually going away, and it's going to be getting your data from wherever you go, your data follows you.
Mm-hmm. But the point is, it has to have some kind of authentication, and having a SIM card on you kind of does that already. I don't know about putting implants or anything on my skin.
Yeah.
A watch would do, but I don't like wearing watches, but I could wear a ring.
Wear a ring, yeah.
A ring would be good. But if it's under your wrist, I don't know.
But how would you use it for multiple devices? Explain it to me.
How would I use it?
Yeah.
Because the way you would have it, let's just pretend that you have it on your wrist. Okay, fine. You have it on your wrist. If it's in proximity of your device and it identifies that it is you, then it becomes activated. Then you can make phone calls with it. It would just power up, or it would say, hello, Maynard. It's who we want to call. Or
so, like, if you have your cell phone, you wouldn't have to worry about locking it or anything like that, yeah. Because if you got it. Now, but if you set it down and walked away, then somebody else picked it up, they couldn't use it.
They couldn't use it.
Except to make emergency calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except emergency calls. But yeah, that's the way to do it. I mean, it's always about authentication. It's always about how, instead of putting a pin, instead of putting your finger on the on the sensor, and if you're going to be in close proximity of it, and the phone identifies that it's you, then might as well open the lines and turn on and make you do Snapchat and do some sexting if you want to do that. Yeah,
that's what you're into. Mm-hmm. So y'all let us know. What do y'all think? Do you think this is something worthwhile?
Would you like a SIM card on your wrist, guys? Would you like it, you know, in your anyway?
But then that means, can people be able to pick up on that SIM card, duplicate your information, and get into your stuff?
That's the point. It's if they can do that. Because right now, you cannot buy proximity. Well, I don't know. There's got to be a way. I don't know. I don't think there's a way. Because right now, duplicate, it has to do some kind of transmission first before they can probably catch that transmission, what you're doing. That's happening right now with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, I guess. But yeah, so there might be a way.
Okay. All right, on to the bazaar. The mystery has been solved. This is the monster that ate the great white shark. And I thought this was kind of funny. It wasn't the Kraken, it wasn't Godzilla, and it wasn't even a rabid killer whale. The mysterious animal that had killed and eaten the 9-foot great white shark and had stumped scientists turned out to be a super predator feared by even apex predators like the great white shark. So what was it? So if y'all noticed, there was this YouTube video going around that was based on a documentary, and it was talking about the scientists had tagged a shark, and then all of a sudden the tag washed up on shore, and from what they can tell, something ate the shark, a 9-foot great white shark. So this is what they've come up with, that how the shark got eaten. The documentary narrates the scientific effort to catalog Australia's great whites and the search for the kill of a 9-foot great white, tagged just 4 months earlier with a tracking device that recorded location, depth, and temperature. When they found the shark's black box, on a beach the data contained inside bewildered the scientist. Everything indicated that something huge ate the 9-foot great white, but what could do something like that? It was only after future study of the bigger migrating great whites that came into the area where the 9-footer was killed when they finally could guess the identity of the mysterious killer.
Who is it?
The scientists claimed their new research data matched all the tracking information from the disappeared shark. The body temperature of those migrating great whites was the same, and the size of the cannibal great white shark, which they estimated to be 16 foot long and weigh over 2 tons, could easily pull off the same speed and trajectory captured in the tracking device. It made sense. The only thing that could reasonably eat a shark is something that resembles a shark, only bigger. The bigger the shark, the bigger the bully. The documentary goes on to show how smaller sharks immediately vacate the waters when they sense a giant one is nearby. It's kind of like vampires. Mm-hmm. Well, that and krakens and kajus and secret weaponized alien megalodons. As for why a large shark would cannibalize a smaller shark, the documentary suggested theories on how it could have been attacked. Maybe it was a territorial dispute, perhaps even a hunger-induced attack. Finally, it settled on a hypothesis that makes the most sense to me. Big sharks eat little sharks.
So it's a bigger shark.
So basically, there's bigger fish in the sea, and they will eat your ass. So watch it.
So the 9-foot was eaten by a 16-foot
shark. Yeah. The bigger the shark, you know, they can open their mouths pretty big.
Yeah, that's true.
So
could fit in there.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Pretty interesting.
So in other words, the sharks attacked in Galveston this weekend.
Galveston has sharks?
Yes. People couldn't go in the water this weekend because the sharks were in so close, and one girl got bitten on the back.
Oh my God, really?
So, yeah.
By big sharks or small sharks?
Well, that was a small shark. So.
Oh, that's okay.
But still, they were in the water and they wouldn't let anybody swim this weekend. So.
Are there any dolphins washed up in the shores?
No dolphins.
No.
No krakens.
Do you know that dolphins are just gay sharks?
Really? Why are dolphins just gay sharks?
I don't know. That's from Glee. You should know that, right?
That and sounds like Britney logic to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is the most Britney who said that.
Okay, all right, I get it now. I got it. So,
okay, so I guess that's it. By the way, I just want to quickly mention last weekend a couple of our friends, Dave and Jason, and some of my friends from D.C., Virginia, Jim, they all went to where'd they go? Went to Tidal Wave in Orlando. And they had a lot of fun.
Which is held during Gay Days at Disney.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good. I hope I'm glad you guys enjoyed. And I would like to do a shout out to Larry. That's right, Larry. Larry, who came from Palm Springs. He's now in Houston for a week. For a couple of months. He's working here. He used to be my softball teammate back when last year with Dirty. And yeah, then I'm 30. Okay, so yeah, pretty much it. And I would like to do a shout out to The Wave, my teammates. And thank you, everyone, for a great season. Thank you to The Wave. It's been a fun season. Maybe again next year, we'll see. And also our sister team, The Surfers, the South Beach Surfers. They're the Bear team of Houston.
South Beach sponsors the Bear team?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting there.
I know.
Since that's more twink dance bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also thanks to Dale for hosting the party last Sunday. It's an awesome house, awesome pool, fun times, lots of food. Oh, yeah. Pretty good.
Okay. Well, shout out. Well, actually, happy birthdays to Brian L., TJ Blackbear, Chris Z., Daniel F., Maurice L., and Gary S., all having birthdays this week.
So, oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm.
So
okay, so I guess that's it for the show. Anything special this week?
Father's Day is coming up.
Father's Day, yeah, that's right.
We'll have a special Father's Day show next week.
Yes, always. Like every year, we always have a father in the show. Okay, so that's it, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voice message or to play on the show, please call 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Call us and leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show.
Yes, and subscribe via iTunes, on also on YouTube and Vimeo. And you can also catch the show. You can listen to the show on Stitcher Radio, Bear Radio Network, and Roku player. Yeah, the videos are available there too. And they can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you everyone for watching or listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.